All righty, folks, welcome back. It is a Tuesday edition of JJ After Dark. It's John Jastrzemski right here on The Fan, and this guy's one of the best in the business. He will be on the call with our good pal Kevin Burkhardt for Nick Foles and the Eagles, who are at it again. It's unbelievable. They're still playing here in the divisional round. They're taking on the New Orleans Saints. Charles Davis will be on the call for Fox Sports, and he joins us to give us a couple minutes. How are you, Charles? What's happening, brother?
I'm doing well, JJ. It's good to talk with you again.
Charles, pleasure's all mine. And let's start right with the game you're doing. Let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles. If you would have told me a month ago, after the Eagles lost that game down in Dallas and they boarded a cross-country flight and they were getting ready for the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday night, that they'd be playing here in the divisional round, what would your response be?
I would have been very, very surprised. I thought that going to Los Angeles was going to be kind of the end of their season, because you remember that's when Nick Foles had to jump back in for Carson Wentz. You know, we found out late in the week that Wentz had the back injury. You know, all of a sudden there's a report, and it looks like Foles is going to start against Los Angeles. Los Angeles was trying to get back on the beam themselves. Everything going against them on Sunday Night Football, and the Foles magic from the year before jumped back into the fray. Because you remember, he began the year as a starter because of Wentz's knee injury. Week four, I believe it was, or week three, they went back to Wentz because Foles struggled out of the gate. But we saw the Foles in the playoffs the year before start again that night, and the Eagles have barely looked back. They beat the Rams in that game and kept moving forward. I think the only loss since then was at Dallas in overtime.
Charles, what is it about Nick Foles this year? Now, last year, the Eagles were great with Carson Wentz, too. I mean, he was on his way to winning an MVP before the injury. But this year, for whatever the reason, they've looked like a better team with Nick Foles. Is there something you can pinpoint? Is it just, you know, a simplification of the offense? It's just getting more out of the defense? Why have the Eagles looked better with Nick Foles?
Well, to give Nick Foles credit that he deserves, he manages to not make moments bigger than what they are. And that's hard to do because the Eagles have been kind of in a playoff mode since he took over as the quarterback, haven't they? They knew that, you know, a string of losses, they were doomed, plus they needed help. So he has a great way of staying calm, staying poised, and being able to play through things, and the pressure doesn't change what he does. In fact, he seems to thrive under the pressure. The other part, though, JJ, I think if you examine their roster, they went through so many injuries, so many guys being down, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that if you go back to the last time they played New Orleans, and took a look at that roster and saw guys go down during the game and then said to yourself, who took their place? And you found a lot of journeymen, undrafted free agents, guys who've been cut by three other teams. And Carson Wentz was trying to play during that time frame. Plus, their offensive line took a lot of dings. You know, Jason Peters has started every game at left tackle, but he's not finished four games, all right? Lane Johnson has missed some games this year at right tackle. He was an all-pro last year. They've had trouble with Isaac Seumalo being hurt at left guard. Stefan Wisniewski's had to step in. Seumalo's finally back. So when you put it all together, that offensive line that Wentz was trying to play behind went through its share of struggles. They've been disgustingly healthy for the most part. Wisniewski played a little bit, and now they brought back Seumalo at left guard for Nick Foles. And Foles has only been sacked five times now, you know, in the four games that he has played, and they kept some of the better pass rushers in the league off of him. So I think there's some bad luck in there for Carson Wentz along the way, but there's also been some of that good Nick Foles magic where he's made the plays that they've needed in order to continue to be involved in playoff football.
Charles, on the flip side, you have the New Orleans Saints, and I've thought all year New Orleans was the team to beat, not only the NFC, I thought they were the best team in all of football. In fact, if you go back to August, I was out in the desert with a bunch of guys here at this radio station, and let's just say, Charles Davis, we are invested in the New Orleans Saints to win the Super Bowl at 12-1, and we got some juicy odds considering right now they're the Vegas favorite. We know they're great at home. We know they have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. If there's one weakness though in the New Orleans Saints, maybe that second wide receiver, maybe it's the second corner, what is your biggest concern right now with the Vegas favorites to win the whole thing?
Well, I'll start on the offensive side of the ball that in playoff football, it's like playoff basketball. The game slows down some, doesn't it, JJ? And people have scouted you within an inch of your life. So the things that you, I'm not going to say got away with before, but maybe they weren't able to put in previously. Now they're going to make sure they put those in. So Mike Thomas is going to have every coverage roll towards him, of course. He should. He caught 125 balls this year. They're going to be able to check Alvin Kamara. They're going to do their best to try and slow him down out of the backfield. And you know Sean Payton to move him around down to the backfield, in the slot, out wide, all those places. But can someone else pick up the slack? Is it Tre'Quan Smith, who had a big game against the Eagles the first time they played? I think he caught 10 balls in that game. Will it be Keith Kirkwood, an undrafted free agent out of Temple? Will one of the tight ends emerge and play well for them and give them some more plays at that spot? All of those things come into play, but I do think that Mark Ingram has really jumped his play up since they went to Cincinnati and blasted the Bengals 51-14, and he may provide enough thump that allows everyone else to be able to function a little bit better on the perimeter.
CD, and again, we're chatting with Charles Davis, the outstanding analyst for Fox. He's going to have the Eagles and the New Orleans Saints Sunday 4:40. What a juicy game that's going to be. The other game you guys got, CD, on Saturday, and that'll be Buck Aikman and crew. Yep. It's Dallas taking on the L.A. Rams. And if you remember last year, the Rams seemed a little wet between the ears in that first playoff game. You know, they hit some early adversity, fumbled, had some mistakes on special teams, never recovered against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Charles, this is a team that didn't play amazing football down a stretch. They looked far better. They looked far more dominant at the beginning portion of this year. As far as the pressure goes, would you be concerned if the Rams, let's say, dare I say, fell behind 7 to 10 points in this game, if that like shadow of doubt creeps into their mind where they're saying, holy smokes, here we go again, just because a lot of guys on that offense, not necessarily the defense, but a lot of guys on that offense don't have that sort of playoff experience?
Yeah, I would be a lot more concerned, JJ, if this game were last year again. I co-signed off of a good portion of what you said. Last year, it felt like the bright lights glowed on the Rams, and as you noted, it took them a while to get out of the gate. And by the time they really got cranked up, it was too late against Atlanta. Remember, Atlanta was coming off the Super Bowl the year before that they had blown, but they had battle-tested guys who had played in those types of big games. This was brand new for a good number of the Rams guys, and don't forget a young quarterback in Jared Goff. I don't worry about it as much now. I did see them down the stretch. Remember, they had that two-game losing streak, and, you know, the sky was falling. And I think I said in our broadcast, Kevin and I both said something along the lines of, well, don't forget, they may have had a two-game losing streak, but this team is much more focused on the fact that they had won 11 games at that point than the two-game losing streak. Now, the Cardinals weren't much of a match, but the Rams were very good in execution against them. The very next week against San Francisco, who had been pretty darn good in December the last 2 years, the Rams jumped on them, and don't let the final score fool you, JJ. I think at one point it was 41-7 or 41-17, somewhere in that neighborhood. So cosmetics kicked in late. So they started to get it back together and play better. But for me, the game against Dallas boils down to this. Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, playing the run first before they go after the passer. Because they're both dominant pass rushers inside. Sometimes, especially Suh, he'll get upfield on you, you know, going after the passer. And I've seen some run lanes get created. They can't afford that against Ezekiel Elliott. They got to make sure they stay stout at the point of attack.
And, Charles, you think about the Cowboys. What a difference Amari Cooper made for their roster. I mean, you go back to when Dallas lost to Tennessee on Monday night. They were a 3-5 team. They looked like they were going nowhere fast. All the rumors were swirling about Jason Garrett's job security. But it seemed like Amari Cooper going in there, being able to stretch the field, being able to open some things up, combined with better offensive line play. All of a sudden, you watch Ezekiel Elliott play down a stretch. He looks like the Ezekiel Elliott we saw when the Cowboys were one seed a couple of years ago. So, did you like that Cooper trade when they made it at the time? Because I got to be honest, CD, I thought they gave up too much. I didn't think Cooper was playing like a guy you'd give up a first-round pick for. But now, after the fact, it was an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, it has been a no-brainer after the fact. And no, when the trade was made, I was not in favor of giving up a one for that trade. You know, for that trade, I was like, I just didn't see that one at all. But we had seen it before out of Dallas, right? Jerry Jones likes a star. Figured he needed this guy for his passing game, and had some trouble getting going early. So it looked like people like me were correct. And then we have Thanksgiving Day, where he has the 90-yarder against Washington, goes for like 175, 180 yards. comes back with 217 against Philadelphia. But if you look at the year, track Amari Cooper, and you'll see a little bit of an up and down. Not all his fault. Believe me, he was just getting integrated. But the highs have been big. And then he jumped out again the last week against the Giants and played pretty well in that one. He makes a difference because you have to change your coverage scheme with him. He has made things better. And keep an eye on the young tight ends for Dallas. Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz. They have played really well down the stretch. And that helps a quarterback like Dak Prescott, who we feel like has been around for a long time, JJ. It's still only his third year. And a good tight end is any quarterback's best friend. So keep an eye on those young tight ends. They've really started to develop of late.
Charles, flipping it over to the AFC, I mean, it's as wide open as can be. I mean, you can realistically make a case for all four of these teams. Indianapolis, with their emergence down the stretch, don't tell me trench play doesn't matter. Kansas right. City, because of the great Patrick Mahomes and their firepower. The Patriots are the Patriots. But, CD, if I'm going to go through these rosters and compare all 53 guys, can you find a roster in the AFC that's more well-rounded than the LA Chargers? Because I can't.
Yeah, I can't either. And I think that the only thing keeping a lot of people from picking the Chargers is they have to go to New England. And that's smart, right? You've got to be very wary when you go in and play the Patriots, because I don't care how vulnerable they've looked and how many times have you talked about that on different shows over the years, JJ. Oh, my God, the Patriots, the sky's falling. Oh, my God, this might be the year that they go get. And then we look up there in the AFC Championship game at a minimum, right? So you always have to be very wary and be careful when you go in there. But I do think this Chargers roster is the right roster to go in and challenge them. And it comes down to the old expression, you know, for Phillip Rivers and this roster, if not now, when? This is your best opportunity. Your roster stacks up with it. Your defense is playing at a high level. They pretty much throttled Lamar Jackson and Baltimore for most of the game. I know that the Jackson got going a little bit late. But remember the ball that Derwin James just mistimed and the ball ends up over his head? Overall, they really shut them down and did a fantastic job. So I think this Chargers team is equipped to go in there and do it. If it wasn't Belichick and it wasn't Brady, I'd be all in on the Chargers going in and getting it done. As such, I'm saying it with caution, but I do think the Chargers can go in and win this game. I don't care what the weather report is, high 20s, snow flurries, all that. Guys have to find a way to adjust. Here's your chance, Chargers.
Charles, you know, I go back to earlier in the year, and I remember when I was making picks, I kept riding the Indianapolis Colts in like late October, early November. And my thought process at that time was they are way better and they look way better than the 1-5 record would indicate. The emergence of Quentin Nelson, the line rounding in the form. Watching Andrew Luck all year, he's looked like the Andrew Luck we saw back at Stanford, we saw back in the first couple of years of his career. And I know now it's getting the sort of attention that it deserves, but you really can't say enough about the job that Chris Ballard and Frank Reich have done in just completely transforming that roster into a far more physical team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Look, part of it started when they drafted Ryan Kelly, the center out of Alabama, a few seasons ago. Okay, so he becomes your pivot. Getting Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame was monster deal because you have to protect Andrew Luck. He's been hit way too many times in his career. But the unsung pick that Chris Ballard and his staff made was the guard Braden Smith out of Auburn, because a lot of people evaluated him as a guard. The Colts saw him as a right tackle. And I don't know how many other teams actually saw that in him. Well, he stabilized that right tackle spot. And this Colts team now, we go from Andrew Luck getting hit all the time his entire career to the unit up front that has given up the least amount of sacks in a season this year. And that's going to get tested on Sunday because they take on the team that's tied for number one in the NFL in sacks, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. So I can't wait to see how that one breaks down. Because to me, Kansas City's got to steal some possessions from Indianapolis, even if they don't take the ball away. They've got to get to him on third down. They've got to get him on the ground. They've got to make him punt the football and give Patrick Mahomes extra possessions, because the Colts defense is very good, and I don't think they'll go up and down the field against them. They need those extra possessions to try and solve them and find a way to win the ball game. Because Indianapolis is playing at a really high level, even though Kansas City has home field throughout. Indianapolis will go in there with no fear. Remember, they beat Houston twice on their home field, once in the regular season, once in the playoffs. they're going in there feeling very, very confident right now.
Charles Davis of Fox Sports. Charles, obviously being here in New York, the coaching search for the Jets is front and center. It's what we're spending a lot of time talking about on the air. A lot of people trying to figure out what Mike Maccagnan is going to do. You're around the league. You meet with a bunch of these guys. Is there one name that you think shines above the rest as far as the candidates that are out there?
It's really not for me right now. I'm as confused as anyone, JJ, about where teams are going, because we saw a little bit of a flurry now, right? Green Bay got things going when they hired Matt LaFleur. And I knew he was a hot name going into last season, but Tennessee's offense didn't exactly say, oh my God, Juggernaut did it. All right. I know Derrick Henry played better down the stretch, but Marcus Mariota, one of my favorite kids in the league, still has not reached his potential. Now, remember, he's been through X number of offensive coordinators, head coaches. He gets a lot of dings, all of those things. But what they're banking on is the Matt LaFleur that they knew. Coming out of the Sean McVay, Mike Shanahan type of a tree, the offense that they've run, he's been around the Falcons when they were so explosive, obviously around the Rams last year when they were explosive. They're trying to recreate that in Green Bay with he and Aaron Rodgers. But I thought the hires today, Cliff Kingsbury, I kept hearing people say they were going to interview him. I have to admit, JJ, I didn't totally buy it. I thought they were going to interview him and maybe talk about him being an offensive coordinator. But the emphasis on offense is so great in the league right now, and he brings a great variety of offense, a great variety of skills. He has great acumen in that area, but his defenses were never good at Texas Tech. I think the team hired him with Steve Keim, the GM, with the idea, we'll help you fix everything else, but you have to take care of this young quarterback, Josh Rosen. That's why he's getting that job. But I think the absolute home run hire so far has been Tampa Bay.
Oh, I totally agree.
Getting Bruce Arians with Jameis Winston, he's going to bring along Byron Leftwich, which I understand, to be the quarterback coach, which I think is wonderful. Byron played the position, got some great experience in Arizona this year as an interim OC. But the big one is Tampa hasn't been able to stop anyone. Well, they're bringing in Todd Bowles to be the defensive coordinator. I think that's a master stroke. BA is rebuilding his Arizona Cardinals early staff because Bowles got the Jets job off of that time frame in Tampa Bay, and I think that's a big win for the Buccaneers. They will be dangerous in 2019.
Charles, final one for me. And the other team in town may or may not be in the market for a young quarterback. And there's a quarterback out of Ohio State who put up a picture on his Instagram of him superimposed in that giant uniform. And I'll tell you, Charles Davis, Dwayne Haskins, watching him in the college game, looked better and better and better as that season went on. I know you're going to dive in the offseason, this combine, the film study. It's why we love having you on come draft time, because you're as good as it gets. But just the initial first glimpse, first takeaway. You a fan, you a believer in Dwayne Haskins?
I am, and I know it's early, and I'll dive in fully as we get closer to it, obviously. You know that. But my first thought process was, if Dwayne Haskins chooses to come out in the draft, he will ascend to the number one quarterback coming out of this year's draft. He has everything I think you're looking for. And I know the college and the pro game are more melded now than ever before, but Dwayne Haskins has good pocket presence, movement, accuracy, touch, big arm when you need it, poise, all the things you're looking for. What is the downside of him, though? What was the knock against Mark Sanchez coming out? One, you know, lack of experience, only 16 collegiate starts, I believe it was. What was the knock on on Mitchell Trubisky coming out? One-year starter at North Carolina, 13 starts. You will have a one-year starter coming out, but we can't do the Bill Parcells model quite as strictly as we did before. Kids are coming out earlier. They're not starting as much in certain places. If you go to a big-time school, they may come out and show their wares quickly. But go back 2 years, JJ. On the road against Michigan, JT Barrett gets hurt. This kid comes in and plays awfully well. I think he can handle the big stage. And to me, him going to the Giants is almost too perfect. Redshirt sophomore. Eli plays next year. This kid comes in and gets a chance to stand, get groomed, watch how it works, adapt to the pro game without having to take the hits and carry a franchise too early. The Giants drafting at 6. You can make a case the 5 teams ahead of them right now do not need a quarterback, but other people will want one. So the Giants, if indeed that's what they're thinking, you might have to see a move where they might have to move up out of six and move up in order to ensure getting Dwayne Haskins. So we'll just see how it goes, if indeed that's how they evaluate him. But as the process begins, he would be the number one quarterback on my board.
The great Charles Davis, Fox Sports, will be on the call with Kevin Burkhardt for the Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday at 4:40. Charles, appreciate it. You know we'll all be watching. Go kill it, my friend, and we'll chat soon, all right?
Thanks a lot, JJ. We will do our best, and we'll try and have some fun while we do it.
Not worried about that. All right, Charles, have a good week, my man. Take care.
All right, you too. Be care. Be good, JJ.
You got it. The great Charles Davis, your calls when we return. Jet coaching search, Dwayne Haskins, and, yeah, a couple of playoff games in the divisional round. It's JJ After Dark right here on The Fan.